You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in Matthew chapter 7 today, and I want you to read with me three verses, very sobering verses when we think of it. Matthew 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. 21, 22, 23. Ready? Begin.
Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I confess unto them,
I know the testimony of a man. He was an awesome father, just a wonderful husband, perfect father. Everything about him was great. He had three children. They all became teenagers, and they loved their dad to death. They loved him, and his wife loved him. He was a churchgoer. Everything was perfect. So they thought. And then it began to unravel on them. They found out their dad was a womanizer. All over the country, women. They found out that their dad not only was a womanizer, but they found out that their dad literally had another family. He had sons. They had stepsons and stepdaughters and had another woman. He wasn't married to her, but he had another family. And then they discovered he had been stealing from the United States government large sums of money. They arrested him, and he went to prison. Those kids were never the same. Their dad was a fraud. Their dad was a fake. Their dad was a phony. Can you imagine being a teenager and hearing all these things for the first time? Can you imagine his wife, who gave him a quickie divorce when he went to prison, that he was just a fraud? I come to you today, and I have to have you confront that issue. I don't want to preach this today, but God's laid it in my heart weeks ago. I can't be a fraud.
Amen.
You cannot be a fraud. I know none of us measure up to what everybody thinks we are. I know everybody thinks I'm this perfect person, and I really try to be. I try to live my life right. I try to be honest. I've never gone to our office where they have the money and cashed a check and or changed a $10 bill for two fives. I've never been in there for that. I don't know the combination of the safe. I don't know how to get a hold of the money. I don't know anything like that. I've been faithful to my wife. She's been faithful to me. But I tell you, at times, you know, we feel like just a fraud. I feel, oh, wretched man that I am. There have been times in the 50 years I've pastored this church, I said, Lord, if you want to get someone else, you can. I just realize how weak I am and how feeble I am. And I understand that. And I don't think I've done anything to disqualify myself from pastoring. I've not been on the internet or Facebook, I don't even know how to do that stuff. I've not been looking at nasty pictures. I've been pure with children and with my wife and our family. But don't you feel sometimes, am I real with this thing? That's what we face today as we look at our text that's before us. I want to preach on this subject. Are you really what you say you are? Are you really that way? I'm going to ask you to take introspection. Perhaps today you're playing at this thing called Christianity, but you know, I know, or maybe I don't know, but you're not a Christian. You've never been born again. I hope that everyone in this room is saved, but everybody's not saved. Jesus Christ is coming again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. And wherefore shall we ever be with the Lord? He is coming again, and it may be this week. And next Sunday, you may pull up to this church, and there are only 10 people here, or 20 people, or 50 people here trying to get in because everybody else has been raptured. Are you saved? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? I know I'm saved. I got saved this fall, it'd be 70 years ago. But I tell you what, I battled eternal security so much because I would sin as a young boy. I'd lie still to my mother. I would not tell the truth. I'd think evil thoughts. I thought evil words when my sisters would disobey or would get in trouble with their brother. And I thought evil words, and I wanted to swear, but I knew I wasn't supposed to. And I'd lie in bed at night and say, Lord, if I did not mean it in 1956 when I got saved, I mean it tonight. I prayed that prayer so many. It's sin. Sin, but I know I'm saved. Are you? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That verse helped me because I realized every time I sinned, it wounded my spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God lives within me. And every time I sinned, I knew I needed to get it right with God. And I want you to know today, are you saved? Do you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I look at this scripture here. I want you to see their testimony in verse number 21. The testimony of these false teachers, because verse 15 says they beware of false teachers, false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. This testimony that he had, they weren't saved. They weren't born again. My wife and I talk about this from time to time. We think that there are probably many in the church, at our churches in America, that are sitting there that are having a religious experience, or they enjoy the singing, or they enjoy the preaching, or they enjoy going to church, but they've never been born again. Yeah. Yeah. I know an evangelist, and I know an evangelist that he's home with the Lord now. He probably won more people to Christ than anybody else in his lifetime. And he preached all over the world to great crowds and great coliseums. And he said one time, and I've got it written in a book, he said, I believe that maybe as many as 75% of the church is not saved. That's an awful number to think. 75%. Of the world is unsaved. Christianity is unsaved. I wonder what's going to happen. These midterms, they say they're falling. Another state fell yesterday to the hands of the liberal Democrats. Trump took it by 20%. And now this liberal Democrat that's anti-everything, they took the election yesterday. The election in New York City, 10 million people in New York City, it went to communist. We're a heartbeat away from this nation falling into the hands of the wicked one. And when she falls, the first thing they're going to do, they're going to impeach Trump, and they're going to try to put him back in prison. You watch. I'm not saying he's right. I'm not saying he's the savior. But we're way out of control in this country. And we're one election away from anarchy. We're one election away from socialism and communism in this country. We're one election away. We're defending the pedophiles and the murderers on the streets of Minnesota today. That's who we're defending. Ladies and gentlemen, we better wake up. Because when America falls, the gospel will be affected, and he is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And if you're not saved, you will burn for eternity in a lake of fire. Say, I'll get saved then. Oh, no. God says he's going to send you into a strong delusion. that you'll even believe a lie. You will not get saved in the tribulation those 7 years. You will not get saved. Oh, some people will get saved. God's going to save 144,000 Jewish missionaries. The Bible said they're going to go scatter out around the world and they're going to win people to Christ, but they will pay for it with their blood. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude of all nations and people and kindreds and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in the hand. They said, whose are these? And whence came they? These are they that perished and came out of the great tribulation. Have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They'll be martyred for the cause of Christ. But not you. Because you'll be a lie of a lie. You'll believe there's a way out. You'll take the mark of the beast on your forehead, because you say, I think I can make it through the tribulation. Oh, but you're not going to. God's going to rain down fire. The Bible says that not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. Got so many preachers today preaching the gospel. They're frauds. Tell you, you can lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you have eternal life, and no man can take it from you. Oh, they preach it that Jesus did not have to be born of a virgin. Oh, but he had to be born of a virgin. The bloodline does not come from the mother. It comes from the Father, and that which was conceived in her was from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is without sin. That's why he could die on that cross. The girl sang about it this morning and shed his blood for you and for me, because there always had to be a sacrifice for sin, but it had to be pure blood, and he's the only pure blood. Thank God for that. The second thing I see, not only their testimony, but I want you to see their works. Verse 22. What's the first word? What's the first word? Read it together. Read it together one more time. Verse 22. Ready? Many. Not some, not a few. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name cast out devils in thy name, and did many wonderful works. Oh, there'll be religious people, but they're still not saved just because they've done these religious things. Many will say, have I not driven a bus in your name? Have I not taught a Sunday school class in name? Have I not sung in the choir, played in the orchestra? I was an usher at the church. I held babies in the nursery. I was in the security team. I was in the live stream. I was in the sound ministry. I served God. But serving God's not the answer for eternal security. I wonder today, and I say this with all due respect to all of you, are you a fraud? Do you know Christ is your Savior? If any man be in Christ, he's new. He's a new creation. I thank God for what he did for me. Oh, I know you're bored with it. You probably will look forward to the day I go home. You won't have to hear my testimony again. But 1956, in that little building with no electricity, lanterns glowing, I walked forward on that Sunday night service. The pastor said, Viva, lead Jack to Christ. It was just a little 80-seat auditorium. We probably had 60 people there that night. And on the second little row of the choir, just 15, 20 chairs at the most up there, green folding chairs, she led me to Christ. I tell you what, I felt like a load had been lifted off my heart. I knew I was a sinner. Oh, I struggled. The invitation was given. I wanted to go out, sitting on this side of my dad. I wanted to go out. I just could not. The second says, I don't think I went. I think I went the third. I believe it could have been the second, but I believe it's the third stanza. And when I walked out, a load was lifted off my heart. I know I still needed to confess Christ and all that, but I was confessing him right there. And just a load was lifted. You know, teenagers, that's why you have such hard time with Christianity. Old time religion. Amen. Fundamentalism. Call it what you want. A church that uses a song book. A church that believes in preaching. I'm not sharing today. I'm not using the little slide presentation to show you. It's not a lecture hall. No, we believe in preaching around here. Amen. And that's why you're having such a struggle with it. I believe that ladies ought to look like ladies and men ought to look like men. And you have such a struggle with that. No, your struggle is not with me. It's with yourself, with God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And in the beginning, God created male and female. There's always been a difference. Physiologically, there's been a difference. And even in appearance, there's a difference. That ladies dress like ladies and men dress like men. That's Bible. They said, oh, Lord, we've done all these religious things. But I want you to see their judgment. Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them. What's the next four words say? Let's read them together. Ready? Begin. I never. Read it one more time, will you? I never. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I know I don't deserve heaven. I know I don't. There's not a person in this room that deserves it, but I know above all, I know I don't deserve it. And I don't want to get to, I don't want to stand before a holy God and hear, you're going to have to leave. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. You're not one of my children. What a sad day. See, because there's going to be the great white throne judgment of Christ. And people will stand before God, not Christians, but the unsaved.
That's right.
And when you're at the white throne judgment of Christ, you could say, I've prophesied in your name. I've cast out demons in your name. I drove the bus in your name. I taught Sunday school in your name. But he's going to have to say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Our church began over here on Clyde Avenue. We still have that property. That building's long gone. There's a replica of that building when you walk in the lobby right now. It's going to stay up through pastor's conference, and we're going to remove the museum. I recall I've been here about 8 weeks. We were running about 30 on a Sunday morning in church. And I was preaching, and I looked out. I saw this lady. She was dressed very, very nicely in a pantsuit and just very, very nice. Could tell she was a lady. And I saw her with a bunch of kids. And it really bothered me. Brother Chuck, it bothered me. Those are our kids. What is she doing with those kids? I could hardly preach. I got done preaching. I said, excuse me, ma'am, who are you? And she said, well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I said, I've been here 8 weeks. I've never seen you. She goes, well, I haven't been here. I said, well, you have to be a member of our church. She goes, well, I'm not going to be one. I just want to teach Sunday school. I said, ma'am, as kindly as I can say, you're not teaching Sunday school here. She never came to Sunday morning, never came to Sunday night, never came to Wednesday night. She wasn't a member of the church. I'm not going to put our kids in the hands of somebody that does not, probably didn't even know the Lord. She got so mad at me and she walked out, and she's never been back to church to my knowledge. She's probably long dead by now. I wonder if she was saved. I doubt it. Her reaction wasn't Christ-like at all. Her reaction, she was upset. She was angered. The same thing happened one day. All of a sudden, a lady, Maria, from where you used to live over there on Burke, but nearby, a lady showed up and she went to the organ. We had an organ that it broke every Sunday morning, and we fixed it Sunday afternoon and tried to get it to go again for Sunday night. And she showed up, and I said, I know her name right now, I could call it. I said, ma'am, what are you doing? She goes, I'm the organist here. I said, I've never seen you in my life. Who are you? I said, I'll come to your house this afternoon. Her grown adult son met me and met her and goes, you can't do this to my mother. I said, well, she can't play the organ. I don't even know she's saved. They could never give me a testimony of salvation. You know, you've got to be born again to serve God. And if you're born again, you're new in Christ. I recall this happened probably 25 years ago. We have students that come to our college, and I'll be done, from all over the world, especially all over the country, every state, just everywhere. And this girl came. Her dad was a pastor. She was a sweet girl. We have CDs which she made with different groups, and she would sing just as sweet as could be. But I suspected something was wrong. I didn't know what was wrong. I couldn't put my finger on it. She obeyed every rule. She was sweet. She was kind. She went soul-winning. Everything was great about her. I just sort of suspected there was a deep wound in her heart or something. Her dad was a pastor. I called him and talked to him about it. You know, that girl one semester went home for Christmas, but she didn't come back. Oh, about 3 or 4 weeks after school started, she came back. It came out that her dad, all of her life, would physically abuse that girl. She couldn't come back because her face was all black and blue. It took that long to sort of clean up. I said, well, you're saying your dad beats you up? She goes, he beats me up all the time. I recall talking to her about it. Of course, she denied it all, but in time, it all came up. That's what he did with his life. He was a pastor of a church. Now, he may be saved. I can't tell, but Brother Pacho, I doubt it. How can you take your little girl and beat her? Beat her black and blue. How can you do that? When you're in Christ, you're new. Amen. You don't desire that. Right. I'm speaking today on the subject. Are you really what you say you are?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.